Thank you for joining me today. You have found the Third Space Podcast, and I'm your host, Bob Fabey. And today, we have an interview with the one and only Kim Nothdurft. Kim is a mom, she's a blogger, she is an advocate, and a former model. I hope you enjoy our conversation together.
Stop it, Dutch.
Can we get Dutch?
Yeah.
No. Can we get Dutch?
You guys are Dutch, though.
Yeah, we are.
So that could
work. Do have a Dutch mom sticker on the back of my car.
Do you really?
I had to.
Yeah, I decided. So, you know, it's kind of like Dutch Bros or Starbucks is a generational thing. Facebook and Instagram is a generational thing.
You know, Snapchat.
Yeah, is quickly taking Instagram over in terms of its usage. But I went to Dutch Bros and I was in the line and I was just kind of like, well, there's all these people here, first of all, and I don't really know. And I'm looking at all these drinks and it's always like Iser or Caramelizer or Energizer or something. And I was like, what are all these drinks? And I keep kind of looking at them. And of course I'm completely out of place. And it's just like sugar, caffeine, sugar, caffeine, sugar, caffeine, sugar, caffeine. And I was like, do you guys sell coffee? And the guy just kind of looks at me. He's like, yeah, man, get you a cup of coffee. I was kind of like, do you have to be really cool to work here too? Because I'm out of my league at this place.
And you have to be going somewhere cool when you get there.
Oh,
where are you going? What are you doing today? Oh, where have you been? Oh, what have you done? And I'm like, I'm going to Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if I have enough time. They're don't get it.
I'm going to be rebranding my home and traveling with assorted people who are Insta famous.
Yes.
Does that count? Uh-huh. I'm just going to have to make up a story when I go there.
I told Andy, I'm like, we're going to go see our dad in prison. Tell them that, and she won't do it.
That's really funny.
I would like to see their face.
I think that's a good idea. So that's awesome. I don't know the shtick at Dutch Bros well enough. So I have to. I felt like I got hipstered when I went there. You know, because I just kind of pulled up. And, I was like, my beard became longer, and my mustache suddenly curled at the
you
end.
Had a flannel
I was like, whoa, flannel, right? I was like, man, I'm wearing the coolest shoes I've ever had in my life. I hate these skinny jeans. Yeah. When we drove through one time, and I mean, the line was just, I mean, I was like, what are all these people waiting for? And then the fact that there was no coffee or what, I was just like, I just need coffee.
You know, their drink is like a Rebel.
Yeah.
It's like a Red Bull, but it's their Rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hideous.
With sugar and Red Bull.
Well, and okay. So Red Bull story, right? When it first came out, they were putting it in I went into, I think it was a Circle K, and, I had gotten some gas and I was going in and this guy has this, and I think it's a really cool logo, right? This Red Bull. And I was like, well, that's cool. What is this? You know, he's like, dude, it's Red Bull. You know,
gives you wings.
And I was like, right. He's like, it'll give you wings. And and he's pretty energetic. And I was like, okay. I was like, what is it? You know? And he's like, it's an energy drink, man. You know, you got to try it. And I was like, no, it's okay. I'm good. And he's like, dude. So he's like, I got one right here. And I was like, wait. I may not like it. I don't want to try this in front of you. This is going to be awkward. He's like, you're going to love it, man. It's going to be awesome. It's Red Bull. Just all this kind of Red Bull vomit. So the guy hands it to me and I open it in the store and I take a drink and I nearly spewed it out of my mouth. I was like, oh my gosh. And the guy just kind of looks at me like he's all upset almost. Yeah. And I was like, this stuff is terrible. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, it tastes awful. He's like, well, it's not for everybody. You know, I'm like, apparently not. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, that was just coffee.
It was awful.
I just want coffee. So my kids will come home and they'll be like, oh yeah, dude, I had a Rebel, you know? And I'm like, what? What is that? And then they tell, you know, and I'm like, please don't ever do that to your body again.
I know.
Yeah. It's like, awful. Don't put that stuff in there. Ugh. It's
disgusting.
Yeah. And, you know, I get it. It's different change, different generation.
I know.
Yeah.
Old when you say something like that.
It's older. I refuse to say old. I don't know at what
when
point.
When I was a kid, it was just coffee.
Right. And it was over a campfire. Yeah. You could have put a spoon in it, stand up.
And we didn't have Keurigs. Yeah, they like put a whole pot of coffee on.
That's right. It had it had beans that I had to step on to grind. Yes. And then, then boil it and drink it.
And go uphill both ways to get it.
Right. Oh, right. Man. We didn't have any of those fancy face chats and Insta books and all that stuff.
And maps on my phone. What?
When we drove, when we drove around, we had to use one of those fancy book things. We still have an atlas. It's so funny. It's so funny. I keep asking Amy to get rid of it. She's like, my dad gave that to me when we went to college. And I'm like, sweetie, it's an atlas from like 1842. I mean, none of this is even accurate. You know, it's got sentimental value, but it's really funny to look at it because it's like, oh, I can do this on my phone.
You know, Andrew and I took a trip to Colorado from Arizona back in 2001. We were just married. Mm-hmm. And I was navigating with the map, and we ended up in Silver City, New Mexico. When we realized where we were going and where we ended up, we did not talk. The rest of the ride, we got to Colorado 12 hours later.
No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were at the end of New Mexico. We had to go all the way.
Where is Silver City?
At the bottom.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said bottom. It tells you I should have been holding the map. Right. So
it's upside down, Kim. It's spelled C-O-L-O-R. Oh my gosh. So you got to Silver City, New Mexico, and then you had to drive.
We talked to some man and we were like, yeah, we're headed, you know, to Colorado. He's like, well, you're going the wrong way.
That's like way out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not like we missed our turn. It's like cosmically bad directions.
It's just like Dumb and Dumber, you know, or like in Wyoming.
You're in a dog car.
Yeah. I'm sure Andrew was. We did stay in the same car the whole way, but yeah, we did not talk to each other.
Oh, bet you didn't.
We're just getting over it.
Yeah.
20 years later.
The counselor says you're on your way, right?
Yeah.
Amy and I had a moment when we were in downtown Portland and we were trying to get to the beach. So if you're in Portland, you drive probably to like Lincoln City or something like that. And so she's driving in the city, which is not a good idea. And I'm trying to give her directions, which is not a good idea. And what we found out is I'm better at driving, especially in the city. And you heard me say that, people. I am better than driving. Than my wife, especially in traffic. And she likes to give directions. She's probably better at giving directions than me. So we were in downtown Portland. I'm like, turn left, turn left. I can't, you know, and it escalates, right? Just so pretty soon I was like, pull over, just pull over. I'll drive, you navigate. She's like, okay. We were out of the city in 10 minutes and on our way.
And it was like,
now this is how things are going to be. And I've adapted that. I heard this phrase from somebody and it's not always used in a blessing. Mm-hmm. So I have to be careful when I choose to use it, but you can tell me what to do or you can tell me how to do it, but you can't tell me both.
Mm. Okay.
How's that going?
I get it.
And you're like, I don't agree, but I get it.
That's yay.
Yeah.
You do you.
I wish you could see Kim's face. She's like, if Andrew said that to me, I'd kill him.
Well, we had a similar situation in Chicago, but Andrew was driving. Uh-huh. And my anxiety in downtown Chicago was so high. I go, I don't care how much it costs. I don't care where we park and how long we have to walk.
Yep.
You're parking this car right now. And we found a parking spot. I think it was like $40 an hour, maybe. Maybe I'm a little exaggerating, but why not? And yeah, that's where we did. And we walked the rest of the time.
And you walked.
I do not do big city. Even I wasn't even driving.
Yeah.
And I was going to lose my mind.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just so worried that you're going to get in an accident?
I don't know. Actually worried about it. I just couldn't handle all the people. And you can't even move because all these people are walking everywhere. Like, what's this? I live in Arizona. I don't walk. So people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's like too many people.
Too many people. And they're out. Yeah. They belong in their homes.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Get out of the way, people.
Yeah.
Have you been overseas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
I was going to say, you didn't drive, did you?
No.
You walked everywhere.
I remember in Milan, people were triple parked. We'd be eating dinner, watching this car go in and out, hitting the car in front of them, backing up the car in front of them. And we're just eating our spaghetti and watching this happen. And we're like, oh, okay.
That's what.
I'm not driving here.
My cousin who, they lived in D.C. and went and parked with her. She was driving. We went to Georgetown one night and, it was Friday night in Georgetown. So there's lots of people and she finally found a parking spot and she parallel parks. And of course, living in the city, they know how to parallel park well.
Yeah.
And she backs in and hits the car behind her and then pulls up and hits the car in front of her. And I look at her and I'm dying because we're in Georgetown and I'm like, oh no. And she looks at me and she goes, what? And I'm like, you just hit those cars. She goes, that's what bumpers are for. Oh my gosh. I was like, this is a different world altogether.
It is a culture shock when you leave in your little Arizona bubble. Man, my little safe, big parking spot.
Right. Lot. Wide open space. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was living in Montana. Oh, yeah. So of course it was like, normally you just put your horse here and tie it on, but didn't work that way. So you mentioned you were in Milan. When were you in Milan?
In 97, after I graduated from high school.
97. And what were you doing?
I was modeling.
You were modeling.
Yes.
For whom and what?
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember. Yeah. It was I got selected to go from my agency here in Arizona. I got selected to go to Italy and model for the agency, which was doing multiple different things. So I would go to different go-sees in the daytime and
gotcha. So how long were you there?
Oh, I lasted about 2 weeks.
You lasted.
Italy is not a very good subject to talk about.
Okay.
I did not do well.
The food is great.
I struggled with even the food.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just in the wrong headspace.
Yeah.
I did much better in New York City.
New York City.
Yes.
How long were you in New York?
I spent 2 summers there at age 14 and 15. Whew. As a mom of a 14-year-old, I know.
Now
it's like, what?
Different context, though.
Different everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I'm here with Kim and we're going to call her last name
Nothurft. Yes.
And we do so on purpose so that you know how to spell it if you're listening. And Kim and I have been friends for a long time. I think we came down in 2006. So
then
it was like 13 years, I guess. So,
wow.
Yeah, a long time.
Yes.
And Kim has just kind of a really cool story and is a cool person. And
thank you.
Happy to have you on the podcast, Kim. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. So backstory, Kim has done modeling.
Yes.
Yes.
Started at 13.
Okay.
So when I say I had a 10-year career of it, it was from 13 to 23.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty successful without knowing it. Retrospect.
So you're 13. How does that happen?
At the mall, Fiesta Mall.
Really?
They had a
Fiesta Mall.
Fiesta even. Mall.
Is it open?
I think it's still a structure.
Okay. That's a mall located in Mesa.
Mesa. Right? Yeah, Mesa. Alma School in Southern.
There
that
you go.
Was our stomping grounds.
Okay. Oof,
yeah. So
it was happening.
It was hopping back then.
Okay,
in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I had my 90s gear on and I was with my best friend and we were shopping and our moms would just drop us off and pick us up about 6 hours later.
Sure.
Where we spent our Saturdays.
So when you say you had your 90s gear on.
Yes.
So there's different versions of 90s gear. So so were you wearing Timberlands and baggy pants?
No.
Okay. No. So then was it the giant hoop earrings?
No.
Okay. So which 90s gear would that be?
I had a striped Guess shirt on and jean shorts.
And jean shorts.
Not much different than the kids were today.
And but you weren't wearing Timberland boots?
Nope. I probably had Birkenstocks on because think I've worn Birkenstocks since the early 90s.
Yeah. Aren't they great?
They are the best shoes ever.
So you get seen in your Guess shirt?
Well, they were having a fresh face contest, modeling contest. Mm-hmm. We were watching.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge was standing there. They were up on a platform and we were down here. And he's like, hey, hey, hey. And I finally look and he realized he's talking to me. And I said, yes. And he's like, get up there. You need to be up on that stage. And I'm like, no, thanks. I mean, there was like 200 people. And these girls all look like Kelly Bundy. Like they were smoking. Mm. And I like, no makeup, no, nothing.
Kelly Bundy was smoking?
Oh, come on. In the '90s, please. She was everybody's like aspiration. Maybe not like mentally or scholarly.
Okay.
But physically. Yeah. So anyway, I was like, no. Anyway, him and I went back and forth quite a bit. And my girlfriend was like, just go, just go up there.
Yeah.
So I walk up to the thing and they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. The judge told me to be here. And I was pretty shy. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I do, I walk out on the runway and I see this guy look at me with this like face of, ugh, what is she doing here?
Oh,
like
no.
That was the first person I saw.
Oh.
And I was like, well, this sucks. And I turned around, walked off.
Yeah.
And my friend and I were like, let's just go shopping. Like, right. So we're walking around. We went to Contempo. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to throw those old 90s brands that someone out there is like, yeah, Contempo.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what did they sell at Contempo?
Oh, you know, just a bunch of 90s clothes. You know.
I don't think I ever shopped there.
No, you probably didn't. I didn't. But I'm sure you had a girlfriend that did.
I don't know. I don't think so.
So we were in there and the girl was like, they're calling your number. They're calling your number. And I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, they're calling your number. So anyway, we rise out and they're like, I was in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, the guy made a cringy face at me.
Right. And then all the Kelly Bundys.
So then I had to go back out there again.
Okay.
And like, I don't know, everybody was hamming it up, whatever. Sure. I didn't win.
So you go out on the same walkway.
Yeah.
And do you have clothes at your mall? Is it just you and your clothes?
No, it's literally me in my mall outfit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That morning I was getting ready. I was not, and I wasn't a 13-year-old like they are 13-year-olds now, right?
Right.
Like we didn't learn contouring on YouTube.
Right.
Like this was just
straight up you.
Straight up me.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so I was top 10.
Yeah.
And an agent was there and she took my number she told me to have my mom call her.
Okay.
So I came, my mom was like, my mom picked me up from the mall.
Right.
Hey, mom, can you call this lady? She wants me to model for her. She's probably like, oh sure. No. Barbizon modeling school. And I'm like, sure. No, it's actually a real thing. So it wasn't Barbizon. Sorry. Okay. That's another old reference.
Anyway, I wouldn't know that one either.
It's one of those modeling schools. You'd have to pay a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I get tangents. Anyway,
that's
my
okay.
Mom called them and next thing I know, I was in for an interview. Next thing I knew, I was had headshots and I was modeling and then I was in New York the next summer.
Wow.
And then the next summer I was in New York.
Whirlwind.
All the while, I still wanted to play basketball. I still wanted to do like my girlfriends all got a job at Dairy Queen that summer. And I was so jealous.
Yeah.
Because I was in New York.
Yeah.
Modeling.
That just sucks.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I
was like, who wants to be modeling in New York?
When you could be at Dairy Queen.
When you could,
serve it up soft serve.
You could turn the blizzard upside down and show.
Yeah. Well,
this thing is fine.
I'm so jealous.
Where's Kim? Oh,
she's
in New York modeling. She's missing out on all this glorious splatter filled fun. Every time I see somebody who works there, it's like they wear as much of the product as they sell. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. Oh. But at 13 or 14, I mean, that doesn't matter. It matters a lot.
Yeah. Matters that my friends were doing stuff and I wasn't with them.
Yeah.
FOMO.
And then that wasn't a 90s term.
No.
But it is now.
It is.
So you're in New York and you're by yourself?
I was in a model's apartment with all girls under 18. So I made some really good friends there.
Sure.
And we were all pretty good kids. We went to nightclubs and stuff, but nobody was off doing things you think they're doing in New York. I don't know. I mean, we had the opportunity to do whatever we wanted.
Sure.
But we all stayed pretty good kids.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was a weird world. And we had a chaperone. She was 23. She was
well,
so
thank
old.
Heavens.
I know.
Thank
so
heavens.
Old. But she was awesome.
She doesn't even. So I have this muster in my head that I hate that I do it, but it's pretty much automatic. It's like, not 25, frontal lobe, not fully formed. Probably not the best person to have watching over your kids.
But man, you know? She was old to us.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, she was Lucy and she was from the Dominican Republic and she would bring her friends around and she would let us do like family things with her family.
Oh, super
cool.
We
were all away from our family.
Yeah.
So yeah, she like brought home to us. So she was awesome.
That's
she,
really cool.
She's probably the reason why we all maintained, you know, level head ish as much as we could.
Sure.
So,
it didn't go to your head, Kim, that you were modeling in New York?
No, because I'd come back home and like no boys ever asked me out. No, you know, I was so tall and so awkward. And it was like, I would just be back home and all my friends are going to prom or whatever. And I never got invited to any of those dances until like I was like in the 11th grade. So yeah, maybe 10th grade, but still.
Yeah.
Regardless, I was just a kid at home. Like they had a, some kids in the news, the school newspaper wanted to do an article on me. And so the article came out and it was a backfire.
It
was awful. We had some kids saying, well, she doesn't look like that without, you know, makeup on. Some guy found some girls with my, the article hanging up in the courtyard and they were like putting holes in it and writing words all over it.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Right.
We are not talking about this. Like I just kept it really like
low key.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
I don't want to brag. I didn't want to look like, oh, look at me.
Yeah.
So I was like,
and that's how people took it.
I bet you 90% did not take it. Was the, you know, the 10% that,
right,
that I remembered,
right,
and was hurt by,
like the one dude who made the face, but everybody else was
the whole crowd probably, was probably fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe they were jaw dropped and they just.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. What is this 13-year-old doing up here? Is she lost?
How is she so tall? That's good.
I have no idea. I was 13.
So you get through a school year and then you go back to New York.
Yeah. I was just in my summers there.
Okay.
Spring break. Winter break.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you go, I mean, this is basically like just interviewing for jobs.
Yeah. You would do like go-sees. So I would take my little paper map.
So a go-see is a...
like an interview. I don't even know if that's what they call it anymore.
Okay.
But it was, you'd get a list of like 5 places to go. Mm-hmm. So my girlfriends and I, every night, we would like map out where we're going, the mm-hmm. times we had to be there, the subway trains that would get us there. Mm-hmm. And I swear I know we talked about my mapping skills is not very good.
I was like, did you wind up in Florida?
But I could manage New York City. I was at a point where you could have dropped me anywhere and I could get home.
Uh-huh.
So I learned the city really well, which is a pretty easy city to figure out except for the downtown area. But I mean, it's just a grid.
Uh-huh.
And so that was, I can't even imagine that was such a good life skill I was getting.
Yeah.
And I was having to budget my own food and ramen some nights. And that was what it was.
Yep.
And it was, I mean, invaluable.
So when you show up at a place, what's that like? What do they do?
It's like catacombs. Usually you have like 100 people there.
Okay.
And you just show them, you wait your turn, you show them your book. Sometimes if it's a runway, you have to walk and then they say, thank you. And then you hear from your agency if you got it or not. I mean, you're seeing five a day. So you're probably at 25, 30 a week. Mm-hmm. And then you get maybe one.
No way.
Yeah.
1 out of 30.
If that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could work for 2 weeks and only get one job.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
I mean, some girls worked all the time. Some never got a job.
Wow.
But I mean, it was experience and.
Right.
And even if you got the job, like most of the stuff I did was editorial.
Uh-huh.
So you get.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Magazines.
Okay.
Got to do a couple Vogues and magazines aren't even around anymore, but they just jumped right in and I got to do some really cool stuff. I just didn't realize it at the time.
Sure.
You know, I'd meet these famous photographers and I'd be like, how do you say their name? And they're like, oh my gosh, Ken, you have to know who these people are. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm from Arizona. I don't know any of this stuff.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. And then so it's not as lucrative and glamorous as people make it out to be.
No, I mean, and again, this was in the 90s.
Well, this is the height of supermodeldom, though.
Absolutely.
Right?
It
so
was.
You had the Cindy Crawfords, you had the, yeah. Was it with the George Michael video? Mm-hmm. What was that? Freedom?
Yeah.
Had all the supermodels in it and all that. I mean, so this is a giant time.
Yes, this was a great time. Right. It was fun time and it was super cool. I'm just saying like nowadays with the Instagram and all that stuff, I mean, it's a totally different world.
Right.
They don't even like magazine covers were models.
Yeah.
Now they're celebrities.
Yeah.
I mean, the time I was there, it was popping. It was awesome. It was fun. And it was what I knew.
Like, yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine what it is like now, but
sure.
It was a great experience and I love looking back at it and I love the pictures and I love showing my kids when they think I am so dorky. I'll be like, oh yeah, well, where's your Vogue magazine?
I was going to say,
did I show you this? Yes, Mom. What reference do you have? Your Instagram account doesn't count.
No.
Yeah, that's really funny. So you kind of, you know, you're doing this, maybe you get one job in a couple of weeks, that kind of thing. Does it pay well?
No, that's the thing. Like editorial, like paid me like $100. For an entire day of work.
Wow.
But you get the magazines and that's what gets you more jobs.
Okay.
So it's the payoff of
so it's
free pictures,
like,
yeah. Awesome pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and good experience.
Yeah.
So.
And I worked with such and such a photographer that I can't say his name.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. It's like in any field really, you know, people want to know what you've done. Mm-hmm. And if you've never done it, then you can't. So it's always like, I want to get a job. And you're like, well, you don't have any experience.
How do I get experience?
I need a job to get the experience. How do we do this?
Yeah. I know.
So you do that for two summers in New York. You're doing spring breaks and falls and that kind of stuff. Then what?
And then I didn't want to go anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it kind of like, I'm just done? Or was it, I mean, what do you think the thing was?
FOMO.
Yeah. Yeah, just being at home.
It sounds silly, but I wanted to be with my friends. I had a boyfriend at the time, mm-hmm. so I wanted to stay with him. And, you know, like, yeah. I didn't want, like, my sister's kids were getting bigger, and I hate missing out on time with them. And
sure.
I just didn't want to go.
Right.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
Burn some bridges. I mean, I was, you know, I was a 16-year-old kid who was, heels were in the ground.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And your parents?
They respected me and trusted me with my decisions and yeah. they were not going to send me somewhere I didn't want to go.
Right.
Thankfully.
Right. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're going to New York and you'll love it.
My mom was not a momager. She was not at all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I know your mom. She's good that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I stayed local.
Yep.
And I worked local and then I tried Italy and that did not work out. And I did LA and, you know, but I'm such a homebody. Mm. I am always just like a rubber band. I am always brought back home.
Yeah.
I don't do well far away.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in Milan and taking photos with blah, blah, blah. And I got to make up a name for the photographer because I have no idea. What's his name?
What
was the guy's name that was so famous?
Arthur Al Gore.
Okay.
He's pretty big.
Is he?
I know that though.
Arthur Al Gore?
Al Gort.
Al Gort?
Yes.
Okay. Arthur Al Gore.
Yeah, there's a few. Bruce Weber are some big ones that I worked with.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So you're kind of a big deal.
No, I'm not.
She's like, nah. It's so funny. You come back to Arizona and you're like, I just want to be here.
Yeah.
You work local.
Yeah.
You know, so the very thing that kind of had set you apart was also the thing that helped you feel a bit ostracized. Mm-hmm. So you're getting to model, but it also feels like I just want to be one of the people too, right?
That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to blend in and I just didn't.
Yeah. Well, and your height is part of that. And
yeah. It doesn't make it easy when you're 6 foot tall and
right.
Everybody else, you know, not.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you come back, you try to blend in, kind of try to find your way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, your parents are running a company. Did you start working for your parents?
Yeah, pretty off and on.
Yep.
But I wanted to do mall jobs. I wanted to work at Cinnabon. And then I worked. I know. Dream big. Dream big. Hey, I got a free Cinnabon.
I was going to say, is that a step up from Dairy Queen? Or
yeah, because I was at the mall. Wait,
you're modeling in Milan.
I feel like this interview is not going well.
You're modeling in Milan, but you're like, I totally worked at Cinnabon.
I totally want to work at Cinnabon.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
It's stupid. No, I know.
It's not. What's really good, I think, is that people get a better picture of who you are, right? Where it's like you could have run with that thing.
Yeah.
And it would have had its own trajectory, but you're like, no, I want to be at home.
You just wanted to be home.
You want to connect with people and that kind of stuff and kind of keep it real. And I think for those of you who don't know, Kim has an Instagram page that I encourage you to follow. And she's also got a blog. So you're a mommy blogger.
Oh, right? I don't like that term.
Maybe you're associating it with something weird, but mommy blogger is, I don't know. That's how I think about you in terms of influence.
Mother blogger.
Mother blogger.
Just kidding. I just made that up.
That's pretty good. That sounds like a shirt.
Tired as a mother. Yeah, I have one of those shirts.
Yeah, that's so. Well. So as speaking of being a mom.
Yes.
How many kids?
Five
kids.
So now I'm very tethered to home.
Right? There's no Milan in your future right now. No,
yeah. Not even downtown Phoenix.
Yeah. It's hard enough just to get to the mall. That
yeah.
You, yeah. 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 Dang, so tell me about your kids.
So I have a 16-year-old. We have a 16-year-old. I am still married to Andrew. Yeah. I have led astray a few times. But yeah, we are still married and we are parents of five kids. We have a 16-year-old mm-hmm. who is Liliana mm-hmm. and she is beautiful and amazing and stunning and born with a really, really rare genetic disorder mm-hmm. called CDKL5.
Okay.
And that caused seizures from age 3 weeks mm-hmm. and still to this day.
Yeah.
And a multitude of disabilities and we are fully her caregivers and she's dependent on us 100%. Mm-hmm. And we still have more kids after that.
Right.
So we have a 14-year-old, Andy, Jane, and a 10-year-old, Oliver. Mm-hmm. And we recently in August 1st, we adopted our two babies
yeah.
who we had fostered and they are now 3 and 2.
So cool.
Yes.
Right.
And crazy.
So give a one line brag about each of your kids.
So I'd like to.
How's that put you on the spot right
there?
It
does because I don't want to brag about their sports.
It's part of what's happening in their lives right now.
Yeah. Our Andy is a very competitive volleyball player and mm-hmm. she's incredible, but she's also an amazing person.
Yeah.
She lightens up a room.
So she plays volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
She crushes it. Happens to be 6'1".
She's over 6 foot. Not yeah. quite 6'1", but mm-hmm. she crushes it.
Yeah.
She's a blocker. She's a middle blocker and she's fun to watch.
Yep.
And to drain all of our money into volleyball right now. And our time and everything. And our energy.
All the kids are at the, I see the posts and I'm like, oh my goodness. There's
every
another
Saturday.
Trip.
Right. Yes.
She seems to be kind of as big hearted as Andrew and you.
She's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
She, you know, she took on the role of a big little sister
yep.
pretty quick.
Yeah.
And she has always cared for her sister in ways that I could never teach her.
Yeah.
And so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ollie? I think that's a great that his name is
Ollie.
We call him
10
Ollie.
And a competitive skateboarder.
Yep.
And he is hilarious. He's probably one of the funniest people I know.
So Ollie is short for Oliver.
Yes.
But Ollie is also a skateboarding move, which is deeply ironic.
Yes.
Yeah.
We no idea.
So I recently saw that he had been in a few competitions.
Yes.
And that he's doing quite well.
Yeah. He usually places.
Yeah.
Had another one on Saturday and a volleyball tournament.
Oh, hey. That's fun.
Split me in half.
If you could put those two sports together, you have something.
It'd be kind of awesome.
Is he sponsored?
He is sponsored by Flipside, uh-huh. which is a local company. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And he is sending out videos right now, trying to get more.
That's cool.
Yeah.
10-year-old sponsored.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a cutie.
And you since August 1st?
August 1st.
You have other littles.
A 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, mm-hmm. Alfonso and Isabella.
Mm-hmm.
We've had...
they're breathtakingly beautiful kids. Yeah.
We have to keep that little girl down
because
everywhere we go,
yeah.
she's told how beautiful she is. Uh-huh. And we're like, there's more to her yep. than her beauty.
That's right. That's right. And if you're ever in a mall, the Fiesta Mall.
No.
And there's...
she's a little short, so she's a tiny one.
Yeah.
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 So that's going to be funny.
Yeah. So married how long? How many years now?
It'll be 18 this summer.
Okay. I was thinking 17 in my head. I couldn't remember.
Always a year older than Lily. Lily's 16, so okay. 17.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yep. And
quick to it.
What's that?
Quick to it.
Quick.
Quick to it. Yeah, baptism by fire.
It happens.
It happens. Yep.
So five kids and, what do you do to make money?
That's an interesting question because I'm not doing anything right now to make money.
Okay.
We're working on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you care to talk about?
Well, it's all up in the air right now, but we are working to get licensed to be a caregiving agency.
Okay.
Because that's what we know and do. And that's a community that I love and I would love to serve them. So it would be just caregiving for adults and children, families that need the respite care and attendant care and the things that the state does provide here in Arizona.
So kind of like special needs type thing or beyond. So what are you thinking?
For the beginning, it'll be special needs individuals.
Okay. And so is this the kind of thing where you want to open up your home and then grow from that? Or what do you?
I want to do a home office. Yeah. For the beginning and just have higher caregivers to meet the needs in their homes.
Yeah.
And
So home-based.
Yes, home-based.
Okay, gotcha. So you have been a caregiver for a long time.
Yeah.
16 years.
16 years.
And so your experience of getting good quality caregivers has been good and bad.
We've been pretty fortunate.
Yeah.
Anything bad has been quick-lived. Mm-hmm. We have had the most beautiful people come into our home. We had one woman for 7 years.
Yeah.
She just recently left and it was heartbreaking, but I mean, she left right when we had a new woman come in and she is in our family. She is our family.
That's like, great.
She's in, she helps with the other kids. They love her. They've called her Moana, even though that's not her name.
Is she Hawaiian?
Yes.
Okay.
And our 3-year-old, one day she was over, she just come and she always wears a flower in her hair and looks so cute. And he just says, Moana. And she was like, okay.
Okay. Does she sing?
Maybe.
You got something there.
I know.
That's really cool. Yeah. So you've welcomed other people into your home to, you know, that's a pretty vulnerable thing. Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that you're thinking you want to help other people do, that kind of thing.
Yes. Trustworthy people.
Right. Right. Making sure you vet the, I mean, there's a lot there to that.
There's a lot there.
And so sometimes, when you blog, Kim, that's part of what you blog about, right? What was your most recent post that you did?
My very most recent post was about Jesus sighing in the Mark, I think it was Mark 8:12.
Uh-huh.
I read it and it said Jesus sighed. And I'm like, Jesus sighed? Like they said, basically in frustration with the Pharisees. And I was like, he didn't sigh. Like, really, Jesus? And so I had to like look up all the
Because he doesn't
other.
Do that, right?
Right. Like, I wouldn't think Jesus would like audibly like, oh, like, you know.
Was
like,
there an eye roll with it?
I bet. Because I had to look it up and I was like, that's not, I mean, I want to see what else is it? Like, what other translations? And they all said he sighed. Either sighed spiritually, which I don't know how you sigh spiritually, but I'm pretty sure my sighs aren't spiritually.
No.
But I love the image of it because it brought him to humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he was like, I'm not going to show you another sign. Like, what more do you want from me?
Right.
And I just thought about how if I had coffee with him and I was telling him my prayers, I would see him sigh at me. I really feel like he would because I feel like he would just be him. You know me. I got you. And I have a problem with anxiety. I really do struggle.
Sure.
3:00 in the morning, typically. And it is just this is not going to work out. This is bad. We're going to be homeless. This, you know,
racing
like you just think the worst is going to happen.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying, hold me, take care of me, comfort me. This is over. We're doomed. This is awful. My gosh, we're never going to survive this. And so I just thought, he's like him. No, I got you.
Wait a minute. Let me try.
Yes. Is that it? Like my 14-year-old does all the time.
I tell you what, I don't get triggered very often, but if you sigh at me and you eye roll, it is on. It is. Oh. It's an immediate like, now we just, it's like having a conflict and somebody pulls out a gun. You're like, no. Now it's over. This is a different situation altogether.
But if it's Jesus.
If it's Jesus, it's a question. Then I'll go like, well, you seem like you're not happy. Jesus, tell me more about what's going on.
Why are you sighing at me?
Yeah.
And I just think He would have. Mm-hmm. In a way that just to bring me back.
Yeah. So would it be fair to say that you think that Jesus might get exasperated with you?
Knowing Jesus, I have to say no.
Okay.
But also knowing that he sighed and he said, you know, like, come on.
Come on, guys.
You know me. Right. That's what his frustration is you know me.
Right.
Why are you not trusting me?
Right.
And I'm like, because I'm scared of your will.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. How's that feel to say?
Well, it sucks.
Why?
Because as a Christian,
let's throw that on there, right?
You want to just trust and be like, oh, God, come
on. Oh, as a Christian,
don't worry about tomorrow.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Lilies of the field, don't worry about what they're going to wear.
That's right. The sparrows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though their pea brain may not be able to worry, they don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Right. And in come all of the proverbial Job's friends, you know. Mm. When Job's in a tough time, the poem talks about his friends coming in and then they're like, Job, you know what you really need to do, mm-hmm. you know? And I think when we're trying to walk with Christ and we have doubts and fears and areas that he's trying to put to death in us, but we're not really keen on that. The Christian platitudes come in and I don't do well mm-hmm. when people have those for me. It's not a blessing. No. And then I may not respond in kind, but it's kind of like, well, Kim, you know, Jesus loves you. Why are you so worried? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sanctimonious, you know, and I don't, yeah, it just doesn't sit well with me. So I think part of the thing is like, well, Kim, I do know you if Jesus were speaking and I do love you. And I've tried to show you all along, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what am I missing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I answer the, what am I missing question, that helps me. It's like, yeah, but mm-hmm. it's always that.
Always a but.
Always there.
Right? But remember,
if this doesn't work out, then this,
yeah,
you know? Yeah. I recently said to somebody, I'm pretty sure Jesus wants to kill me. And they were like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I was like, well, I think that I need to die so that he may live and that he's pretty keen on locating places in my life that I've resurrected dead material, trying to somehow. And it's like, no, we got to put that to death. And that I am not keen on my death.
No, you know? No.
And I think that those struggles are pretty, for those of us who take our faith seriously and who are willing to go down that road, that's the place. It's like, nope, we're going to wrestle. You're trying to kill me. I don't want to die.
Right.
Even though I know you love me, even though, I mean, I get all those things. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I'm probably going to submit, you know, mm-hmm. but it's on.
Yeah. I like to have a rebel soul, rebel spirit.
Right.
Just because, and I'm not a rebel, but if he wants to wrestle it's that all, out of me,
right?
I don't want to give it up.
Right.
I don't want to give up certain comforts.
Yep.
And, but then when I see it, what does Dr. Phil say? I really like Dr. Phil.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, what does he say? He says, if to acknowledge is to acknowledge it is to, you can only make changes once you acknowledge it. Basically,
He says, if you recognize the issue, then you can make a change. Yeah.
But you can just blindly just not see it.
Yeah.
But once you do, then you can't not change it.
Right.
Not live your fulfilled life that you need to be living or that I feel I live my best life is when I say, oh, yeah, I see that now.
Yeah.
But I could have gone 10 years and not seen it.
Sure.
And everybody around me could see it. But if I don't see it, mm-hmm. so if I don't acknowledge it, then that I'm not going to make a change.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'm wrestling because he's like,
he's showing you something.
Kim, look.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what do you think the thing is that he's shown you?
That he has me. Like he always has me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. I think that's my thought, my growing up as a Christian. Like I thought when Lily had her first seizure and we knew we were in something big and it was hard and it was dark and it was bad.
This is 3 weeks?
Well, at 3 weeks, I was still hopeful. I thought, oh, well, the doctors will fix her because that's what doctors do.
Sure.
And I even left the hospital when she was 3 weeks. We had like a 3-day admission, 3 or 4 days admission. And we left and we were leaving and we were doing discharge. And I said, is she going to grow up to be a normal girl, normal kid, normal person? And they said, we see no reason not to. Right? Why she won't.
Yep.
Everything was normal.
Yep.
So I clung to that for a long time. Mm. So when we realized that's not the case for her, I was so angry.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, to God, I went to church every Sunday. I went to church on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. I was my youth group president, you know?
Right.
Regardless, sometimes I went to church with a hangover. I still went, right? I did so much for you.
Right. You owe me.
You did this to me. I don't deserve this.
Right.
And I was stuck there for a long time.
Mm.
Really long time.
Yeah.
And it just took a long time to get out of there.
Yeah. What was the key for you to get out of there?
A lot of time. A lot of just finding some kind of comfort in her, seeing the positives, the way she lights up a room, my heart, my life, the way that she's essentially perfect in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you raise other teenagers after her, you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, Lily's never said anything to me. She never rolled her eyes at me. She's never sighed at me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But all slow, such a slow growth and in recognizing. And I feel like that's where my rebel soul was, my rebel spirit was, because I was just a bucking horse at him. I was so angry.
Yeah.
I didn't deserve this. She deserves prom. She deserves to drive a car. Mm-hmm. She deserves a wedding. She doesn't deserve to be stuck in this chair, stuck in this body. And that was really hard.
Yeah.
And it is still hard.
Sure.
I had a really hard time with her 16th birthday.
Yeah.
It'll always be a waves of grief that just come and go.
Sure.
But there's also waves of just peace.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say excitement because I mean, her days are hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying, why does she have to suffer? And I remember just feeling this, who is suffering, like her or you? And it was like, it's a lot of it's me. And I heard a quote not too long ago. It's like, you should, you know, parents let their kids be whoever they want to be as long as it's who you want them to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dang, I feel that for all my kids, you know, and especially for Lily, because I'm like, I'm suffering because you're not what I thought you were going to be.
Mm.
And that was just really,
that's huge.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
I think that's true for every parent.
Every
kid.
And I can tell you everything about each of my kids that I thought, oh, I thought you would be doing this. I thought you would be doing that. Mm-hmm. And to not acknowledge that that's mine, that's my issue, not theirs, is just how you can accept that and roll onto celebrating who they are and what they are and what they have to bring in.
So important, Kim.
Oh, parenting is so hard.
Oh man. So I tell people, I'm like, well, first one's marriage.
Yeah.
That's the hardest. Second one, right? Really close is parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so your ability to recognize your own issues with where your kids are at is kind of the key for helping you overcome some of what they face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But feeling, and that's my wild, you know, rebel spirit, was the part where I don't trust you. Look what you did to Lily,
right.
You know, and that would be like my card I kept in my back pocket to throw at God and be like, well, you're not going to, you know, you're good. Everybody says God is so good. God is so good. And he is ultimately good. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know our time here is temporary.
Yep.
So I know cognitively that. But I still would throw that back at him and say that you're not trustworthy, God, because look what you did to her, Lily. And when I stopped doing that, when I stopped saying that you're not good because you did this to me or her, that's when I felt I had so much growth from there.
Yeah.
And to say, I do trust you because we are still here. We are still good. We are still loving you and praising you and teaching our kids to do the same thing, which is so important. And just show them that you are good throughout it all.
Mm.
And just that kind of, that's where the trust changed, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not thinking, oh, well, God's going to make everything okay. Right. As a Christian, we should know, looking in the Bible, oh, geez, that worked out really good for all your disciples, right?
They didn't quite make it the way they thought.
Yeah,
none of them were a mega church pastor. they didn't arrive, quote unquote.
Yeah. I mean, they suffered. And why would we not? I mean, it's what does C.S. Lewis say about like soft soap, expecting comfort in your religion is like, that's not why you're seeking your religion.
Right.
If you're expecting God to be some kind of product to make everything better, you're going to toss that product, right?
Right.
We just talked about that church on Sunday, and it was such a great like visual to me. Like, I'm not going to sell God to my friend who's having a hard time and be like, oh, if you just trust God, he's going to make everything better. Because he might not.
Nope.
Not how you think.
Not what you think. Yeah. I always put it in terms of what God's job is. And I'm like, that's not his job description, you know, and we want to make God's job description to make me happy, healthy, and wealthy and all of those things. And that's what his job is. So that's what needs to happen. And in fact, his job is actually just to be faithful to his covenants and his promises. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, couldn't you, include a couple things that would help me out a little bit, you know? And it's like, no, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Mm-hmm. But it feels like it. So how do I overcome that? You know, when it feels like that. Yeah. Yeah. I think the thing that you're talking about with regards to, how does God allow things like that to happen? I think anybody who takes their faith with even a small amount of seriousness wrestles with that. Mm-hmm. Because it's real, you know?
And that's where you take your faith to another level, though.
I hope, for some people, I think it is a turning point, you know, where it can be really good or bad. I mean, it's true. So when you're sitting in the kind of the pastor seat, people will ask the question all the time, why did God allow this, you know? And man, my answer is always don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's a theological answer, right? And I can give from one, if I'm sitting in one chair in a different location and a different context and all those things, and well, I can give you the theology, but I've never seen that help somebody actually.
Never.
Ever.
We'll so usually check out.
Yeah. Well, and so I usually just say, I really don't know because I don't, you know, but theologically speaking, can it be explained? Yeah. To some degree, but that's not what's needed in that moment.
Right.
Not that kind of stuff. So you've been able to kind of turn a corner in your faith.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still back. But I know how to get back on that road.
Right.
And that is submission.
Yeah.
The easiest thing to do. Oh, right? Yeah.
Super. Did you say you're Dutch? Aren't you? Isn't there a thing about the... Aren't the Dutch like super... Stubborn? No, I mean, stubborn. Sure. That's a word maybe, you know. So have you listened to Rebel Heart by Lauren Daigle? I'm a fan, not just of her style, but I really appreciate the way that she's pretty organic about how she talks about her faith.
Yeah.
And I resonate with that. So there's a song called Rebel Heart. And she basically, it's a process by which, even in the song, you know, she starts in one place and ends the song in another place. Oh. And it's,
I gotta listen to it.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
I can just do it with the tap of my phone too. So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do that.
Try to do that. If you're listening, feel free to pull that one up on Spotify or whatever and check that out. And the reason I say that is because, I think my heart is rebellious in many ways, and that I resist what God is trying to do in and through me all the time. And especially when I don't know what he's trying to do, and then I get really keen on digging in my heels. Looking, yeah. Right? So one of my characteristics of my personality is if you can't tell me why, and if you can't show me what's going on or whatever, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so many times our faith, and maybe this is kind of what Dr. Phil is getting at, but if I can't see what it is that's happening, I'm not really willing to do anything else,
yeah.
You know? And, I just think that's a pretty common way of people walking with Christ, you know? So it's not as if you or me or anyone else is broken in that capacity. Like, it's like, nope, that's pretty normal.
But I can just visually see it walking back and forth and just getting yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in that.
Digging, wearing a hole or a trench in between the
and
two.
And how are you going to get out of there? You're just going to get deeper and deeper.
Right.
You don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Super hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No.
For sure.
Usually requires a, there's a saying, and I think it was Eugene Peterson, maybe. He said it's a long obedience in the same direction. And I think the way to get out of that trench is to walk in the direction of Christ for a much longer period of time until you're actually out of the trench.
Discipline. Learning discipline. I think that's been my word lately because I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm Enneagram 9.
Okay.
I know a lot of people talk about Enneagrams
now. Sure.
And our deadly sin is the sloth.
Mm.
And I can be a sloth. Like, I actually want to be a sloth. I desire to be a sloth. I like work hard so I can sit on the couch. I once said I'm the hardest working lazy person I know.
That is so
And we went to the zoo to see him the other day because there's one at the Phoenix Zoo.
Yeah.
And he did nothing. He was just in his little box. Uh-huh. And I'm like, why am I disappointed? What did I expect?
I thought
from
you were going to say hashtag goals.
No. Like,
there he is.
No, I wanted
he's
him to
my
like,
spirit animal.
Do something for me. And I'm like, well, of course he's not.
He's a sloth.
Go see the orangutan. That's the number 7 or 3. They'll show you something. He's my person. He's just going to sit there. He's not going to song and dance for you.
So you're going to have to get a tattoo of your spirit animal, which is a sloth.
Oh, I think I'm done with tattoos.
So you do have a couple.
Yeah. A few.
Yeah. What's the most meaningful tattoo you have?
Oh, my cross on my wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have another one.
I got a lot. My other wrist says make lemonade.
Yeah.
Which is a good reminder.
Yeah.
That's to do that with those lemons.
Yeah. So life brings you lemons. Make lemonade. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that there are people who really resonate with you, Kim. You have a number of followers. If you follow Kim on Facebook or Instagram, I want to caution you around liking or commenting on one of her posts, because what happens is you'll put a comment down or you'll say, hey, that's really nice, or I like it. And then the thousands of followers are doing the same thing, and you get notifications after notifications. So I learned very quickly, turn off notifications for this post because the Kim storm is coming.
My hair guy said the exact same thing. He's like, I don't even comment on your stuff anymore. I just like it in my head because I don't want notifications all day long.
Right. Yeah. You might be, you're one of the most engaged people that I've seen on Facebook in terms of people kind of just really connecting with you or resonating deeply with you. And it's fun to see because people, you know, they're like, hey, Kim, and there's a connection there. And I think that goes all the way back to where we started with regards to, you know, you really wanted to connect with people. I mean, you came back from New York and it was like, no, I want to be here. I want to connect. And that's kind of one of your superpowers. I think, you have a kind of a realness about you that people gravitate towards and appreciate, you know.
Very real.
Well, there's, you know, it's a good quality to have, I think, for people to be able to go, yep, I want to be like that. And I know that, you know, part of your blog is trying to help people to see like kind of a behind the scenes look at faith and family and all the different parts that are part of your world.
I do feel authenticity is my I guess a good trait, and you know, it can be a bad one too, but I just feel like that is the only way I could ever be.
Yeah. It's pretty tough to go forward without it. It feels artificial.
Yeah. I mean, I can't sell you clothes on Instagram. Like, I will never be the one telling you. I'm not an influencer ever in that kind of way.
Right.
But I just want to influence people to see around them.
Yeah.
And God is good.
Amen.
And he's
to that.
Around.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
And he wants.
So 5 years from now, you would like to see a company that's caring for people well.
Yeah.
Where you're popping quality caregivers.
Quality. That's the thing. Yeah. I don't need to be big. I just want quality.
Yeah.
I want my family. I actually really want to be able to teach families how to advocate, because I think there's so many families out there who get so lost. And especially if you're not an English speaker, mm-hmm. or, you know, you just don't know what you're doing, mm-hmm. you can so easily just be told no and be like, okay. And you can't in advocating. Mm-hmm. And it's why we went to foster care, because we learned how to advocate. And I am a very easygoing person, mm-hmm. but I will not stop until I get what my daughter needs.
Right.
And so I think other families don't have that skill, mm-hmm. or ability, or mm-hmm. Knowledge. Mm-hmm. And my point I really want to push is not only to offer caregiving, but I want to have support for families and say, you know, let's have a workshop. Let's talk about, like, Lily is going to be 18 in a year and a half.
Yeah.
That's a whole new world. Yep. So that's something. And once we navigate, I want to help other families navigate. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to families to help me navigate to that.
Sure.
And I just want to help, you know, there's a week I spent almost an entire week every day on the phone with insurance and our pharmacy to get medication for our daughter.
Goodness gracious.
Things that we shouldn't have to do, but you do have to do.
Yeah.
And there's some families would be like, oh, I guess she can't take that medicine anymore. My insurance said no. And it's like, no, you're paying them. Mm-hmm. This is a service. Mm-hmm. Your doctor prescribed it. Mm-hmm. We're going to get this.
Yeah. They can figure it out on their end.
We will all figure this out. And we're not stopping until... Yeah. Your child is taken care of.
That's right.
Because there's just so many bullies and it's just not right.
Yeah.
We have such a vulnerable community. Mm-hmm. And if nobody's standing up for them, it will remain vulnerable.
Yeah. So you really have a deep sense of advocacy for those who don't know or can't advocate for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's really good. And the world needs more people who speak on behalf of those who... can't or won't
do.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Kim, what would you like people to know as we kind of wrap things up? Is there anything you want to share? Any places they can follow you? You have a website? Do you have a...
Do.
Yep. Go ahead.
My name is calmamongstthechaos.com, which is a goal, not a, not a principle, but it's working a goal. On it. Yes. Hashtag goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my Instagram's the same. Mm-hmm. And Facebook is Kim Nothurf. Nothurft.
There you go. We'll slow that down and post so that people caught what that was.
I know. It is a tough one.
Yeah.
But you know, I went from top to top, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Deep Stratton.
Deep Stratton to Nothurf.
You didn't pick Smith, so you're
good. No Smith or Brown.
Well, I'm really grateful for you spending time, Kim. You know, it's really fun. Yeah, really fun. And I just want to encourage everybody who's listening to be thinking about advocacy, thinking about what it means to speak for those who can't speak for themselves, or maybe that there's ways in which you have had the opportunity to go through something yourself and you can lend a voice to somebody else who maybe doesn't have one, and making huge, huge difference in their lives. And like I said, go check out Kim on social media, calmamongstthechaos.com, the same on Instagram, and Kim Nothurft on Facebook. Kim, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Kim. You can continue the conversations that we started with me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or you can check out my website, bobfaby.com. And as always, I hope that you have many, many blessings.